Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. With a sound so famously described by Harlan Howard as three chords and the truth, country music has evolved through the years into a uniquely American art form that continues to stand the test of time. From Southern Appalachia's songs of struggle and heartbreak to the rollicking sounds of California's honky-tonks, there's no single way to describe the music. The songs that tug at our heartstrings and tell the story of the human condition. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Viewers around the country are tuning in to Ken Burns' latest documentary, Country Music. It's an eight-part series that's streaming on PBS. The documentary chronicles the history of the genre from its earliest roots to the evolution of its sound over the course of the 20th century and beyond. So today, we explore the enduring popularity of country music. We'll sample songs that continue to resonate with audiences and artists today. Joining me in the studio is Art Stevenson, a guitarist, harmonicist, and lead singer who's been playing bluegrass music in the Midwest for 40 years. Art organized High Water in 1993. He has appeared on a dozen different bluegrass, country, and folk music CDs and albums. Art, welcome to Route 51.
Good
and
to see you.
Happy birthday, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also joining us today is Nashville recording artist Jerry Schmidt, whose band is one of the premier country bands in the U.S. Jerry is from Stratford, but he's played throughout the Midwest, in Nashville too, legendary locales like the Honky Tonk Central and the historic Ryman Auditorium. Welcome, Jerry.
Good morning.
Our third guest today, none other than Larry Big Red Narowski, who has had a long career as a country music DJ. He is now the morning show host and brand manager at WYTE in Stevens Point. Thank you so much for being here, Big Red.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I got to tell you, my husband and I have been watching the Ken Burns country music documentary on PBS. It is an amazing look at the roots of country music. Fascinating characters. I mean, just the whole history of where it all began. Have you all been watching it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Had to do my homework.
It's been very enjoyable.
It has been enjoyable, hasn't it? I mean, just amazing. One of the things I find so unique about country music is the staying power these songs have. And that was really evident when we were watching especially the early pieces in this documentary, because we're hearing all these songs that are still songs that we're hearing today. I mean, they're coming up with stories that resonated with listeners then. So I guess, Big Red, what are some of the songs that immediately come to mind when you think of songs that are still country music staples, that still matter even now?
Well, I mean, you got to go back, I think, a little bit to some of the songs that do still resonate and that some of the younger cats are still playing, whatever. But I think, honestly, I don't know if I'm going to name drop any of the songs in particular, but I think that's kind of where we've gotten off recently is that it used to be, it was a story. They would tell you stories, and that's why it resonated, because it was three chords and the truth. I don't think the kids these days are playing the truth very much. It used to be when you watch the documentary and you're hearing all these stories about, you know, whether they grew up in the hills of Virginia or whatever, they grew up poor, they sang about their lives and they sang about the truth and about trying to get out. And then you got some of these songs are out nowadays, and it's like, I don't know if that same girl is dating all these guys, or there's a lot of girls with a butterfly tattoo, but I don't think these guys are singing much about truth these days.
For me, I guess Jimmy Rogers is that first name that comes to mind when I think about that old-time country music. Traveling Blues was considered the first modern country and western recording in 1931. Still love it. Just wanted to play a quick clip from that.
I had a dream last night. I thought my good gal had gone home. Woke up this morning, she had really done me wrong. I know it's not fair, but my good gal had done called out.
I mean, isn't that just like the epitome of country music from its roots?
Thank you for choosing that one, Shereen. It's one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Jerry, I know that the first song you ever recorded professionally was a Hank Williams song. What was that experience like?
Correct. I was a freshman in high school, and there was a recording studio over by Stratford. Tom Kinese had it, and he asked, he came in and we were doing, I was in the choirs in high school, and he came in and he said, you know, you should come out to my studio and record a song. And so, you know, my mom asked, she's like, which song you want to do? And I said, well, this has always been one of my favorites. And it was kind of one I was playing on the guitar back then. So it was I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. So, I mean, just a haunting song. I mean, anybody, you know, tugs at the heartstrings on that one.
Can you play some of that?
Yeah, we can do some.
You want to do that? All right, let's hear it.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. Did you ever see a night so long when time goes crawling by? The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. Now this is my favorite verse because this one is just, it tears your heart out. The silence of a falling star lights up a purple sky. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Whoa, that was amazing! Yes! Oh, that... And you're right. Those lyrics do tear your heart out. I guess that's what's so powerful about this music. And like you said, it's the truth. It hits you right here.
And that's, I think, you know, when you listen to those songs, you know, like that, when you grew up on them, you felt that. I mean, they put everything that when they spoke the truth, when they sang the truth, you knew was the truth. You felt it. Whether it was their song or not, they found a way to connect to it. And that's, I think, what makes those songs so endearing and why they keep coming back around and why some of these younger cats, they mention Johnny, they mention Merle, they mention a lot of these other guys because they spoke the truth. And whether you like the truth or not, you heard it. And, you know, people can relate to those.
Absolutely. I told you before the program that I did not grow up with country music, that our family was not a country music family, and yet my mother is a musician, classically trained. She taught us all how to sing. She taught us to play the piano. But when I hear some of these songs, these are the songs that she used to teach us how to sing, like the Carter Family songs, for example. Art, one of the songs you mentioned as a favorite was a Carter Family song. You've Been a Friend to Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is one that I've been playing for a long time, and we recorded it, actually not with my band, but with a band called the Possum Hauler Boarhogs.
That's a great name for a band.
My bark of life was spinning down the troubled streams of time. When first I saw your smiling face, and youth was in its prime, I'll never forget you wherever I roam, wherever you may be. If ever I have had a friend, you have been that friend to me. Misfortune nursed me as her child, and she loved me fondly too. I would have had a broken heart had it not been for you. Oh, I'll never forget you wherever I roam, wherever you may be. If ever I have had a friend, you have been that friend to me. Now as I look back across the years, upon life's much troubled streams,
I smile to think through all I've seen, you have been a friend to me. Oh, I'll never forget you wherever I roam, wherever you may be. If ever I have had a friend, you have been that friend to me.
Oh, beautiful. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. Well, of course, the Carter songs, Carter Family songs, some of those really early songs, then we saw kind of an evolution in the sound. And that's one of the neat things about that PBS documentary is that it really takes you through all of the ways that country music evolved and changed over the years, even while maintaining those same roots. We had the rockabilly that, you know, that kind of gave birth to the Elvis Presley rock and roll movement. And then there was the honky tonk sound. Lefty Frizzell came onto the scene in the 40s, kind of smoothed out the edges of that sound. I want to play a clip from Lefty here. This is Always Late.
Always late with your kisses. Won't you come to my arms, sweet darling, and stay? Always late with your kisses. Why, oh, why do you want to do me this way?
All right. I know that was one of your favorites, Art.
Oh, yeah.
You suggested this on. So what is it that draws you to that sound?
Well, I like the honky-tonk style, you know, of the pedal steel in there and a little bit of piano, a little bit of rollicking piano in the background and the beat and everything like that. I've loved honky-tonk music right up through Alan Jackson and what's going on today. But I love Lefty Frizzell. He kind of innovated the way country was sung at the time. A lot of folks were trying to sing like Hank Williams, but he came out with his own style, and he had these vocal adornments that, you know, these vocal embellishments, you know, always late, you know, that nobody had been touching, you know, and so I think he brought that in, and lots of folks like Merle Haggard were very much influenced by his style.
Sure, and then right around that same time, or at least shortly after, Ray Price emerged, just an incredible musician, so many hits. And I know, Jerry, you mentioned that Crazy Arms, a Ray Price song, was one of your mother's favorites.
Yeah. That was the first song she had heard me singing. We were sitting around a campfire, and I, after a long day's work, so I went to bed, and I had Mom's record player. So I was spinning some songs, singing with it, and so all of a sudden Mom thought I forgot the record player was on, and here it was me singing this song. And so I guess all of my siblings were sitting on the stairs listening to me to sing this one, and then that's kind of when a lot of them, my siblings said, you should get a band going. So,
all right. Let's hear some of that.
All right, we'll give you just a little.
Sure.
Now blue ain't the words for the way that I feel. And the storm's brewing in this heart of mine. This ain't no crazy dream, I know that it's real. You're someone else's love now, you're not mine. Crazy arms that reach to hold somebody new. My yearning heart keeps saying you're not mine. My troubled mind grows into another, you'll be wed. And that's why I'm lonely all the time.
Oh, beautiful. I love it. We do have to take a break. That was Jerry Schmidt, Art Stevenson, and WYT's Big Red, also our guests today on Route 51 as we continue our exploration of country music's enduring sound. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Today was Angie's birthday. I guess it slipped your mind. I tried twice to call you with no answer either time. But the postman brought a present I mailed some days ago. I just signed it, love from Mama, so Angie would know.
We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Art Stevenson, Jerry Schmidt, and WYTE Morning Show host Big Red are our guests today as we continue our look at country music's roots and evolution and just what it is about these classic songs that continue to resonate with audiences around the nation and, of course, in our area. One of the recurring messages in Ken Burns' documentary is the importance of storytelling in country music, and we talked about this a little bit already. I mean, they're songs of heartbreak, songs of struggle, of faith, and they resonate whether they're being told by men or by women. It's truth-telling really in its purest form. And the song that you just heard, I chose this one because this is one where Merle Haggard is talking about being a single parent, trying to shield that heartbreak from a daughter whose mother has run off. This is a message that really it transcends those traditional male or female roles. And I think that's an important point. We hear a lot about men running off and women being single moms. But this was a story, I mean, from the heart about a single dad dealing with that. I mean, how important are those roles?
Well, I mean, as myself, I mean, I'm a father and I have sole custody of my daughter. So I can relate to those type of songs, but I think it's you have those situations in life every day, and it's just it's not that story is not told as much as it is on the other foot. You hear about dads that walk away from the family or from the kids or whatever. You don't really hear it from the other side. So I think it's important to hear those stories and to know that those do go on.
Well, I want to play a clip from a Tammy Wynette song that you, Jerry, covered on your Wishful Thinking album that came out in 2016. Here it is.
I'll need time to get you off my mind, and I may sometimes bother you, try to be in touch with you, even as too much of you from time to time. Now and then, Lord, you know I'll need a friend till I get used to losing you. Let me keep on using you. But no matter how I try, there'll be times you know I'll call. Chances are my tears will fall, and I'll have no pride at all from time to time. But they say...
Of course, that second half was you, Jerry. What a great rendition of that song. But talk about that. How did you come to choose a Tammy Wynette song as a cover, something originally performed by a female singer?
Well, I was going through a hard time in my life at that point. And so there were certain songs I was listening to. Well, that was one that I was listening to. And I remember I was going to Nashville to work the Hayride, Music City Hayride, and I submitted the song. I said, this is a song I want to do. And when I got there, the house band, all the musicians looked at me. They said, you can't do this. This is a girl song. And I said, it's a great song. It's not a girl song. It's a great song. I said, play it, because I said, this is – and, you know, I think everybody was a little bit nervous at the time, so we played it. And, I mean, it went off well. And then I'm like, I'm going to record it, because I was getting ready to record the Wishful Thinking album. So I put it on the album, and I've had a lot of people come up to me and say that they had forgot about that song and that, you know – they were, you know, it helped them get through some tough times. So I mean, a great song needs to be, it's been my motto all along, whether it was written 50 years ago or yesterday, it deserves to be played and played again. And sometimes it to reintroduce it back to some folks that it maybe never caught the first version.
Have you ever done that, Art? Have you ever chosen a female song and made it your own? Is that something that you would do?
Yeah, there's one called Someday Soon that my wife and I sing, and it's written from a female perspective of having a boyfriend who's out on the rodeo circuit and he's gone all the time, and her father wants to beat him up and stuff like that. So,
All right. Yeah. I guess for me, the songs are great. They make your toes tap. They make you want to dance, but they also hit you in the gut. You know, they talk about things that you might feel privately or talk about privately with your closest friends, but you don't talk about publicly. I think some of the most powerful songs are those types of songs. Some of them came from female artists. I remember the Loretta Lynn's The Pill was, you know, it was banned for like 2 years, right? But everybody was talking about it.
Nobody in rock and roll touched that, did they?
No.
Not at that time, no.
No, it scared them. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to play that on the radio, right? I mean, you can imagine as a radio host what that would feel like. Oh man, the calls are going to come in.
Yeah, you get a little bit itchy sometimes if you play a song and you're like, this could touch some people the wrong way, and you just, as soon as you hit play, you just kind of turn and look at the phone line, wait for it to light up.
Exactly. But of course, eventually that song was played, but so many of these songs though do talk about those universal themes. I want to play a clip from Dolly Parton's Jolene. It, I think, is a good example of that feeling of heartbreak that we've all had, regardless if we're a man or a woman.
Of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
I think we've all kind of felt that at one time or the other, that we're not good enough, that somebody else is better than we are. And I mean, that's truth right there.
Well, what I love about it is that it's told in a way, it's not angry. It's desperation. It's pleading that, look, I'm not mad at you. You know, you're a pretty lady. I get it. But you can take my man. Please don't. And it's, you
just
know,
don't I'm, do it.
Just please, can you let me have this one? You know, I like it in that one. And I think other ladies, and not just women, it's, you know, great songs, they go past gender. And I think probably guys can feel the same way about, you know, another guy could probably come in and scoop up. He's a handsome fella or whatever. But I think it makes it more endearing again that it's not said in an angry way. It's pleading with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some of the most iconic voices that come to mind when you're thinking about country music? The ones that immediately say, this is country.
Ray Price comes to mind when he was still doing honky tonk. I mean, even his crooner stuff was excellent music. But when he was just doing the Texas shuffle, like on Invitation to the Blues or a number like that, that was the epitome of country music to me is Ray Price singing. And, of course, Hank Williams. Of course, Hank Williams.
Sure.
I would say Merle Haggard and George Jones, both of them, they had just that drawl and kind of that whine that to me just kind of epitomized country music for me, along with like you're saying, Webb Pierce is another one. That you hear that voice and I mean, you know, that's country. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah, I was good. You stole mine with George Jones, but I'll go with the ladies. You know, Tammy, can't go wrong with Tammy, and the Judds. Oh, my goodness. When they came on, that was incredible. Not only the way they synchronized their voices, but just, I mean, both of them just sang like angels. And when they sang together, it was incredible. So, I mean, that's what I was saying earlier about songs. Just, it doesn't matter if it's a guy or girl singing it. If it's a great song, I think everybody feels it.
Oh, the Judds, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that some just incredible harmonies there. Yeah. Just made my hair stand up. It was just
you're welcome.
That awesome.
One of the best duets ever.
Oh, no kidding. Patsy Cline.
Patsy.
For me. I've got to play a little bit of Patsy here because I can't resist. Here we go.
Love that sound. The Owen Bradley, her producer, I mean, he kind of helped Jim Reeves and a bunch of them that give that just, to me, it's such a mellow sound. I love that era of music as well from country.
And of course, Patsy Cline died in an airplane crash. You think about all the music that could have come from her.
Absolutely.
Oh, just
she
crazy.
Was still an emerging artist.
Yes, she was. She was only 30 years old. Yeah. So that's just crazy. Willie Nelson, too, of course, not only known for his popular recorded hits and his lifestyle, let's be honest. I mean, you know, he's been outspoken about a lot of things. But what an amazing songwriter. I saw in the documentary that he at times gave away his songwriting credits sometimes for pennies on the dollar. Like he needed $100 or he needed $200. And then these songs would go on to sell tens of thousands or, you know, million copies. And wow, you know, that's crazy.
The song that just, when you're saying that floored me was Family Bible. He sold that for $15.
Right. Wow.
And finally, the guy after that he sold it to made so much money that he actually gave the rights back to Willie. But that's the one example of that it's just – that's crazy.
Right, right. And of course, that was the exception. I'm sure most of the songwriters weren't like, here you go, have it back. You know,
felt guilty. That's what that was.
Yeah. But so many of these songs just remind us of our childhood and remind us of things growing up. And yet they still touch us today. One particular song that reminds me of my childhood, and I know it's one that both of you know well, is – Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And I'd love it if you could perform that for us now.
Twilight glow, I see her. Blue eyes crying in the rain. And as we kiss goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember, and only remain. And through the ages I remember blue eyes crying in the rain.
Nice stuff. Nice stuff.
Sweet.
Yes. Have the two of you ever played together before?
No, this is the first time.
This is the first.
First time ever.
First time we've met.
Well, then we're making history.
We're Facebook friends now, too.
Yes.
Well, then it's official. Facebook official. All right. We're going to take a short break. Art Stevenson, Jerry Schmidt, and WYTE's Big Red are our guests today on Route 51 as we continue our look at the roots and evolution of country music. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I want to tell you all a story about a Harper Valley widowed wife who had a teenage daughter who attended Harper Valley Junior High. Well, her daughter came home one afternoon and didn't even stop to play. Mama got a note here from the Harper Valley PTA.
This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames.
We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Art Stevenson, Jerry Schmidt, and WYTE's Big Red are our guests today on Route 51 as we continue our exploration of country music's roots and continued popularity in our area. That was Jason Isbell's 24 Frames, by the way. Probably one of my favorite current country artists today. I have to say, there was a time when glamorous pop-style country music was really taking off. I can remember when it really started to gain that momentum. And it's interesting to see now that some of these indie artists, those Americana-style artists, find a home in country music. Jason Isbell, for example, when he was with the 400 Unit, I don't know that I would have characterized him as a country singer. And now he certainly is. But he has a pretty big skepticism for some of the modern country. In fact, he was quoted in Rolling Stone this year as saying, most of that stuff is really bad music. So I was like, okay.
He's an artist.
Yeah, yes, he is. I guess I'd love your thoughts on modern country. I mean, would you like to see more of a swing back to country's roots, or what do you think?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, I know.
I'll just say, you know, you can throw rocks, but I hardly ever listen to modern country radio, you know, because there's always something on there I'm not going to like, you know, mm-hmm. pretty quick. But I love honky tonk music, and so anytime there's a honky tonk style country song on, and there still are some on the radio, then I'll be very excited to hear that. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite kind.
Midland is one of the bands that when I first heard their stuff come out, I'm like, oh, this is like old Mark Chestnut stuff. Yeah. And so I love their stuff. What I miss the most is hearing the steel guitar and the fiddles. It doesn't have to be real twangy, but like I've always liked the rockabilly, kind of like the honky-tonk, like you're saying. I think there needs to be a mix of that. I would probably tune into, you know, modern country music again if there was kind of more of a mix, but I usually don't. You're just hearing the same stuff. They all sound the same.
I listen to a lot of Americana, which doesn't really make the charts as we know the charts to be, and it's a huge pool of talent which doesn't reach the public eye enough. And Jason Isbell has risen from that.
Yes,
I remember the first time I heard him was with the Drive-By Truckers.
Oh yes,
mm-hmm. And you know they're a powerful Southern rock band, but I heard Jason singing and playing his music in there, and I thought this guy's a country singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very cool.
I used to tease my husband actually when we were first dating. It was during the Drive-By Truckers era, and he would play Drive-By Truckers, and I said, that's country. That is country music. He said, it is not country music. Yes, it is. It's a form of country. It is. It feels country. So,
well, I think the line of what's country these days is quite blurred. But I do look at like some Riley Green and Ashley McBride and Cody Johnson and some of these other guys that are coming up, and it does give me some hope. That maybe that we're getting back to a little bit more of the traditional country sound, and I think with country radio, that I think we've been pretty giving as far as what sound is quote country. I've been accused of being a country music purist.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say I'm more of just a music purist. Music, it even touched on it in the Ken Burns documentary there, that there was people sitting on their front porch. And they would tell stories with their guitars because they couldn't read and whatever. And that was a way for them to pass on either family stories or traditions and stuff like that because they couldn't read. So that was their way of passing on things. And that's why music, as whatever it's country or, I mean, whatever genre it is so important that you do tell a story. Tell me something. I don't care what it is. And these kids these days, I don't know if they all were just raised in the bed of a truck. Or, you know, or they just had zero problems growing up, but they all seem to have a very familiar theme. I wish it would just get back to telling stories.
Well, and I have kind of a story that goes along with that. When I met with a friend of mine in Nashville, and he's a sound engineer for a major artist, and he said, he goes, Jerry, you know, you're a good songwriter, but he said, You got to sell out and write some cookie cutter songs. He said, get established, and then you could do what you want to do. And to me, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. That, and I got up from the table from that, and I said, if that's what it takes to be a country music, then that's not for me, because I can only write and sing songs that I relate to. And so that's, I think, like we keep coming back to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not saying the truth, people will see through it.
Well, and here's the truth to it as well. It was also brought up in the documentary, and I don't remember who said it, whatever. It said, the sound of the Nashville sound, what is it? And then he jangled his pocket with a change in it. That's the sound. And unfortunately, that is the truth in Nashville, is that all they want is it to sell. And so they're targeting and they're marketing a younger generation who doesn't know the history of country music, don't care to know the history of country music. Is it poppy? Does it make me want to dance? Whatever, that's all that matters. And whether it's the sixth song in a row that you hear on the radio with the truck beds and a butterfly tattoos and whatever, it doesn't matter, because that's what's selling right now. And that's all the labels, that's all that Nashville cares about.
Well, I just read that the two top grossing country artists of 2019 are Eric Church and Garth Brooks, who's certainly been around a long time. Let's see. I'll play a little clip from Garth Brooks right now, one of his most recognizable songs.
Long neck bottom, let go my hand. In jukebox, don't start playing up song again. There's a girl at home who loves me. You know she won't understand. Long neck bottom, let go my hand.
So he's just one of the artists that, I mean, he's packing stadiums at huge ticket prices. I'd pay, I mean, if I wanted to see Garth Brooks, I'd probably pay more than I paid to see Paul McCartney earlier this year. So what is it that keeps drawing fans to these shows? What do you think?
Well, it's his stage performance. It's, you know, I may get in trouble for this one. I like Chris Stapleton. I saw Chris Stapleton earlier this year at Country Thunder. One of the problems is, and I heard from a lot of different people, he had zero stage presence. Basically, he went from one song, lights went down when the song was over. It was quiet for about 3 minutes. Lights came back on. He sang again. He never addressed the crowd. never said how y'all doing, nothing. I mean, just it was one song, lights, another song. And Garth brings you in, lets you know you're part of the experience. And that's what it takes, I think. That's why I think people learned a long time ago, and Garth's one of those people that had taught people, you can sing, that's great. Where are you going to make your money, though? Because the labels are going to get most of your money. When you're selling records and stuff like that, the label's getting most of your money. You want to make a lot of money, go out on tour and put on a great show. My mom, before she passed, she saw him probably about 15 times and would have saw more if she could. She would see him every single time. That's because it was an experience to go see him. And that's what it takes, is making people feel like they're part of the show, that without you, Garth wouldn't be up there doing his thing.
The other key, I think, to Garth and a lot of the artists is quality of songs. Conway Twitty once said, you know, it's always about the song. Come back to the song, and that's what'll get you where you want to be.
And the musicality of it. I want to bring up the Cannonball Rag, because to me that's that ultimate finger picking song, and I know that that's one of your favorites, Art.
Do you have that on cue? Oh, that's beautiful.
No, actually, I was hoping you'd play it for me.
Actually, I don't play the Cannonball Rag.
Darn it!
Put you on the spot.
I think it was the Wabash Cannonball.
Do you know how to play the Cannonball Rag? No. All right. Well, we're not going to hear the Cannonball Rag, I'm afraid. But we can hear something else, because a lot of songs we know are drawn to the songs they heard growing up. That would be one of them, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But, Jerry, you mentioned Footlights. It's a Merle Haggard song, right? And that has some special meaning for you?
Well, I mean, for any musician, you know, that it's – the lyrics to it is, I live the kind of life most men only dream of. I make my living writing songs and singing them. I mean, anybody that's you know, an artist can relate to it, and it's so that's why I actually performed it on the Hayride. I take the songs that mean something to me, and I play them out. So,
Do you want to play some of it? No. I mean, I know you sang some of it already. But
depends on how much time we got here.
We've got time.
Because the other Merle Haggard song that to me was that means a lot, because when Merle Haggard passed away, I was on Broadway, and somebody in the crowd asked this guy to play, and he had never even heard of Merle Haggard, and this was the song. A warden led a prisoner down the hallway to his doom, and I stood up to say goodbye like all the rest. And I heard him tell the warden just before they reached my cell, let my guitar playing friend do my request. Let him sing me back home with a song I used to hear, and make my old memories come alive. And take me away and turn back the years. Sing me back home before I die. So that was the song, and I just couldn't believe that. I mean, that is just
one of the greatest.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Sing it very well, too.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think we can pull up a little Cannonball Rag right here. Sure, here we go. Got to play a little of it, right?
Yeah.
Of course, it's a live version.
Well, thank you, and I hope that's clear to Tex Ritter now. It's a little bit baffled to me. Tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to try a little country guitar playing on a little tune called the Cannonball Rag. So stay with me, will you, please? Here's the way she goes. Thank you.
All right, I can't play that either, but it sure is good, isn't it?
That was Chet, wasn't it?
The Merle Travis.
That was Merle Travis.
Yeah, Merle Travis.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I want to talk about Jimmy Davis a little bit. Singer-songwriter, then he became a politician. He served as governor for two non-consecutive terms in Louisiana, where he's from. I have to wonder how many children growing up in America heard their parents sing You Are My Sunshine. Because, I mean, hasn't everybody grown up to that? Can you guys play a little
bit? A little bit of it.
Okay.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken. So I hung my head and I cried.
Nice stuff. So that reminds me of growing up, and my mom would sing that to me, and I mean, so many children had that same experience. What are some of your other favorites? I mean, let's hear something, another favorite.
John Conley. Okay. He gave me some of the best advice. I worked at a festival with him, and he said, he goes, always be yourself on stage, because he said people will see right through if you're trying to act. So,
Tom T. Hall, the storyteller.
All right.
Yeah, now there's your storyteller right there, Tom T.
Okay. All right.
Love me some Eddie Rabbit.
Oh, now that's one I haven't thought about in a while.
Yeah. I just remember my mom was walking around the kitchen singing that, and, you know, yeah, Love Me Some Eddie Rabbit. Crystal Gayle.
Oh, yeah.
Dwight Yoakam, I mean, I think he was one that helped kind of merge that kind of traditional sound, bringing it back a little bit.
He sure did. Yeah. The Bakersfield sound.
Absolutely.
Which brings up Buck Owens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I guess, Big Red, where do you see country music right now? Are artists trending toward the mainstream, or are we seeing a resurgence of that old sound?
Well, I think it's... I do see, and I feel a lot, because I do hear a lot from artists about it, and I mean there's folks like Riley Green's got one that talks about country. I wish country it's sung. I wish grandpas never die, and we're playing that right now on air. And one of the lines is, I wish country music got played on country radio again. And this is a young cat, and he's talking about it. So I think you are having that resurgence in there. Of some of these younger players coming back to some more of a traditional sound. And, you know, like I said, I think it – songs are supposed to take you someplace. That's the whole point of it. When you hear somebody's song, that's like on when I'm on the morning show, I don't ever talk about my own personal life as far as like, woe is me this, woe is me that, because people don't listen because they want to hear my problems. They want to be taken away from theirs. They either want to be able to relate to a problem or they want to get away from a problem. When they hear a song, they want to escape their lives for a minute, or they want to be able to know that you are relating to their life some. And a lot of the music out nowadays doesn't do that. It doesn't connect. It doesn't have that connection with a listener. You may get somebody tapping their toe and it'll sound good for a minute, and that'll be gone quick. But you get some of these other artists who are coming up nowadays, I think they get it. They get the storytelling. They get connection with their listeners or with their fans or whatever. And I think there is a resurgence coming back. How long is it going to be till we get that sound back? I don't know, but I do see it.
What do you guys think? Do you think the Ken Burns documentary is going to stimulate a resurgence of that old sound?
Yeah, I hope it generates a new interest in country music from people that thought they didn't like it before, because there's so much good music presented on the documentary. There's going to be something for everybody on there, and it's a very exciting history to watch and enjoy too. So I hope it brings back some interest or generates some new interest among people for this music.
I think it reminded a lot of people of kind of what the history is and kind of what happened with country, and I know from playing out, you know, weekends, you know, doing whether it's festivals, bars, rodeos, and that. That market never went away. There's everybody thinks the younger generation doesn't like to hear the twangy, the cut. No, they're misinformed because we're getting tons of requests when we're playing for Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings. So, I mean, it's still there. I think the documentary might bring some light to kind of what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. This really flew by. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51. I'd like to thank our guest, Art Stevenson, Jerry Schmidt, WITE Morning Show host and brand manager, Big Red Narowski. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rick is also our on-air producer today. Special music today, Old Crow Medicine Show, Jimmy Rogers, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams, Lefty Frizzell, Merle Travis, Jeannie C. Riley, Jason Isbell, Dolly Parton, Patsy Cline, Garth Brooks, Jerry Schmidt, Art Stevenson, and Bill Monroe. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route51. Next week, we'll host a discussion on crafting local spirits and the economics of the tasting industry in our area. But until then, we're heading out of town.